With Amex Platinum, you can enjoy access to dedicated card member entrances at select events, because skipping the line makes you the star of game day. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Card member entrance access not limited to Amex Platinum card.
Chris Canty is big mad that the Miami Dolphins paid Tua Tagovailoa, at least to the tune in which they did. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Courtney Cronin is filling in for Ian tonight. And Chris Canty, host of Unsportsmanlike right here on ESPN Radio, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. He had some things to say about this deal, Courtney, that Tua got. Now, Tua becomes one of the five highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. That thing was changing by the moment, though. On Friday, he was the fourth highest, or third highest, I guess, when the news broke in terms of per annual. He is now the fourth highest in terms of per annual. But in terms of guaranteed money, not close to that. The overall value of this deal, shorter than a lot of people thought, four-year deal that they can get out of after 3 years. Nonetheless, Chris Canty hates it. Take a listen to Canty talking about how Tua is not worthy of this contract. He's not even a top five in his conference.
He's not even a top five player at the position in his conference. So in what world does it make sense to pay him that kind of money? The Miami Dolphins paid him $50 more million than they had to. If they had simply allowed him to play out this year, which is the fifth year option, $23 million, and tagged him the following 2 years, you get to a number around $110 million. It feels like job justification and Chris Greer, the general manager for the Dolphins, trying to validate his pick of Tua in the 2020 NFL draft.
What do you make of that, Courtney?
I understand what the big picture problem he has with Tua's contract. And that's the fact that they have not had playoff success with him at quarterback. Of course, the year that he was injured, Skylar Thompson starts that game in Buffalo, the Dolphins lose. Last year, they're in Kansas City. It was a frozen tundra. They end up losing that game. So for the times that Tua has been on Dolphins teams that have made the postseason, it hasn't looked so good for him. However, what is convoluted in all of this is the fact that Canty's missing the mark here, knowing full well that you don't need to have playoff success like an Aaron Rodgers in his prime, like Patrick Mahomes does right now, like Joe Burrow, even in, you know, down years, still gets the Cincinnati Bengals to be in the postseason. Like, you don't need that. You don't need the wins to reflect that in your salary. Based on the contracts that we've seen doled out, hell, even in the last couple of months, like when Trevor Lawrence got his deal back in May, June, how many playoff wins did he have to his name? One. Jordan Love has one playoff win on his resume after having a good half of football, and he still got paid. I don't understand why people can't just see that the market is the market, and quarterbacks are in control right now based on what all of their colleagues and their peers are making. There was no way that Tua was going to go into this situation, not practice in training camp, play out his fifth-year option, and not expect to get a new deal at some point. The market is the market. He said it himself, and he's right, because everything around him dictates how much he's going to make as much as he dictates how much he's going to make based on his play from the last season.
Yeah, Canty saying, oh, well, they should just pick up his fifth year and then they'll tag him up a couple times and that's how you handle this to the tune of 110. It's like, all right, but you're kind of ignoring the whole other side of that negotiation where Tua was actually a hold in this training camp. He had only taken two snaps and they were two handoffs. He was not practicing and he was digging his heels in. And where would that have gone in a situation where they are tagging him year after year and Canty's just expecting Tua to go out there and play the highest level? It doesn't work at that position.
No, and we've seen this happen one other time where it did work, where one quarterback played this to his advantage, and that was Kirk Cousins. That was a different CBA ago. That was a different era, honestly, in the NFL. 2016 and 2017 before he struck it rich with the Minnesota Vikings, the $83 million, 3 years, $81 million fully guaranteed on that contract. I get it, but that is the outlier versus the norm. If you can find quarterback stability, it is the hardest position in sports, and it's the one where if you have any semblance of security, you're going to hold on to it, you're going to pay whatever it costs, because that, to a lot of teams and general managers and coaches, is invaluable. Tua's given you that security. He's given you the right fit in Mike McDaniel's offense, a team that was, you know, one of the highest scoring offenses, highest powered offenses throughout the regular season. Do they need to figure out how to win in the month of December? Yeah, they do. Does their defense also need to come through there? Yeah, it does. It wasn't all on Tua for their shortcomings. I think they had like 2 wins in the month of December last year in January going into the playoffs. That's not all on him. But the stability that he provided, 17 games in the regular season, 1 game he played in the postseason after a year where concussions and other injuries cost him time and cost him, like, you know, the straight-up sanity as to whether he was going to be the answer at that position for them much longer. He answered that. He led the league in passing. He was an MVP candidate. You pay somebody like that because the fact is, trying to go out and replicate that and find somebody else is... it requires so much more work to go tear it down or to go find a trade partner, because not many people are giving up great quarterbacks for not a hefty penny. It's the cheapest option that they could have gone about in this manner, and the only one that made sense.
I heard Canty say this morning that this is a bad deal for the Dolphins because Tua doesn't lift up all the talent around him, that they have to put all these weapons around Tua. And the reality is that this is the team that has more guaranteed money committed to those offensive weapons than any other team in the NFL because of Jalen Waddle and because of Tyreek Hill and now because of the guaranteed for Tua Tagovailoa. However, the reality also is, how many quarterbacks in the NFL do lift up all the talent around them? Courtney, I mean, if we go through the top 10 quarterbacks paid, like, does Trevor Lawrence lift up all the talent around him? His deal's bigger than Tua's. Does Jordan Love, his deal's bigger than Tua's? Does Jared Goff? Does Justin Herbert?
It's subjective.
Does Jalen
Hurts?
That's
what irritates me, because that's such a in a vacuum argument. People look at Patrick Mahomes and say, well, he's not getting paid the absurd amount that Joe Burrow, Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, and Tua now are. That so because he's not getting it, others shouldn't. Because Patrick Mahomes, there's so few scheme transcendent quarterbacks in the NFL. That's what it is. And when you try to compare the next best, like the guys who are in tier two and tier three of these quarterback rungs, to the upper echelon, you're going to have a flawed argument every single time. You're more likely to find guys like Tua who are in these situations where they are really, really good quarterbacks. But are they great? Are they good quarterbacks independent of the pieces around them? We're going to be having the same conversation with Brock Purdy in a year. Hell, we've been having it for the last 2 years, and the guy just went to a Super Bowl, Amber. He's going to be due for his payday coming up in 2025, and I guarantee that same conversation will happen that we're having with Tua right now when it comes to Brock Purdy. You're just not going to find that many quarterbacks who can get the most out of any single player, whether he's a great player or an elite player or just a good or average player. I just don't buy that argument that you have to be that player in order to get paid, because the market has shown us that you don't.
There's one of those guys that you can feel really confident. Sure, there's people who are going to say, oh, well, Josh Allen's that guy. Well, we're about to find out without Diggs there, right? I mean, we have no idea, really. Realistically, oh, Joe Burrow's that guy. Okay. I mean, there's durability issues there. Is he that guy? Like, there's one guy that we feel really confident is that guy at this point in his career. Maybe Aaron Rodgers was that guy earlier in his career, but there's one guy, and that's it. And everybody else is more like Tua if you've hit on your quarterback. And the reality is, I don't know why it's a negative to say Tua fits into McDaniel's system really well. Tua can run McDaniel's system perfectly. Like, why is that a bad thing? Isn't that what you're paying for?
Well, because people want the money to equate to excellence independent of the situation that you're in. And that's just not realistic in the NFL. Everybody, to a degree, outside of like two or three quarterbacks, probably just two at this point, and I would end up, you know, saying that that's probably Joe Burrow and that is Patrick Mahomes and maybe Aaron Rodgers. I just don't know, at 40 years old. Everybody is a system quarterback, and that's not a bad thing, because everybody is in a system that is built to their strengths to get the most out of them and the talent around them. We have this insane idea when it comes to quarterback contracts that the pay has to equal, you are a magician, you can make anything happen when all else fails, and it's 1v11, if they want to make that sort of comparison as to what they feel it needs to be, the ones who say that he shouldn't have been paid, that player can rise above any circumstance at any single time and win. That's so unrealistic, And that's just not, that's not something that happens that often. Even Patrick Mahomes last year in the regular season had struggles when his receivers around him, he did his best to try to lift them up and try to like put them in great situations, and they still failed. It just happens to be Patrick Mahomes. And what we saw in the postseason was an offensive approach that started to click. It started to work. It wasn't just that he all of a sudden like put on a superhero cape and won them all these playoff games independent of the cast around him. It's frustrating that we can't see past the facade that is, hey, you make the most money at your position, or you're a top five paid player at your position. You should be able to be head and shoulders above everybody else who has ever played your position. It doesn't make any sense.
The only other quarterback in recent time that we could talk about winning a Super Bowl right outside of the Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady's of the world, who we both agree lift the talent up around them, is Matthew Stafford. Is it a negative that that team was also in a Super Bowl right before Matthew Stafford entered the building, and then Matthew Stafford enters the building and, oh, by the way, fits into that system really well, runs it really well, and gets them over the hump? No, that's not a negative. No one cares that Matthew Stafford isn't Patrick Mahomes in that situation, and that he walked into a team that was already suited for a championship. No one is knocking the Rams for doing it that way. No one cares as long as you actually do the real winning in the postseason. No one at the end of the day is worried if you're a system quarterback, if you win a Super Bowl, and no one is going to care how much you get paid if, in fact, you win a Super Bowl. That's the reality of the situation. And that's what all these teams are betting on, that are paying these Super Bowls now at this level. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, Courtney filling in for Ian tonight. It's time for Courtney to reveal her top five players under the most pressure this upcoming NFL season. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Ah, fall Saturdays. The air is crisp. The game is on. Your friends are here. And you're outside on grill duty. The Home Depot knows missing the game is not an option. Thankfully, the Traeger Timberline XL Grill is here to help you play defense and make the most of every Saturday. First up, we've got fans to feed, and the Timberline XL is a real crowd pleaser. It can bake, smoke, sear, fry, and saute, so you can feed everyone at the watch party. Whether you want sweet, tangy ribs, jalapeno poppers with a smoky kick, grilled street corn, or some classic buffalo wings, this utility player can do it all. And with Wi-Fire tech and the Traeger app, you can monitor your smoker temp, meat probes, and pellet levels all from the comfort of your couch. So you can watch the game, not the grill, and never miss a moment. Defend your game time with Traeger and the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
So we are in the midst of our ESPN Radio Rank'em series, where all the radio shows here at ESPN Radio rank all things NFL. As we head towards another NFL season, we are in the midst of training camp season right now. I gave you my top five players under the most pressure this upcoming NFL season earlier in the show. If you missed anything here on Amber and Ian, check out the podcast on the ESPN app. Courtney Cronin is filling in tonight for Ian. You can find her at Courtney R. Cronin. You can find me, Amber Wilson, at Amber W. Sports. So now, Courtney is up.
From the top five jerseys,
the Baltimore Ravens,
all purple,
creamsicle, Tampa Bay,
Falcons throwback uniforms,
to the top five wide receivers,
CeeDee Lamb,
Amon-Ra St. Brown,
Tyreek Hill,
Justin Jefferson,
Christian McCaffrey,
boop, boop,
and everything in between. This is ESPN Radio's NFL Rank'em. The top five players with the most pressure. Number five.
Okay, so I know you had Dak as number one, Amber. Dak is number five for me, and I understand you're probably looking at this thinking, how can the guy who doesn't have a contract right now not have the most pressure on him to perform in 2024? I'm going off history here. I'm going off the fact that Dak got injured back in 2020. He got tagged for a brief second. He still got paid. And he's performed at an MVP level. He finished second in MVP voting last year. He was a top MVP candidate 2 years before that. he will be just fine, whether it's being the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, whether it's going somewhere else next season. As we have talked about with Tua and Jordan Love and all these other quarterbacks that have broken the bank, and some people might say, well, what about the playoff success? How come that hasn't come into fruition for them to get these big deals? Dak is like the poster child for that. So I would say he has pressure on him. He obviously wants to get the financial security, which, you know, he signed a $160 million deal a couple years ago. I think he's doing just fine in that category. But to get the next one, he will be just fine this season, no matter what happens in Dallas. But still, obviously, you got to do something to justify that deal.
Well, I do agree with you that either way, he ends up getting paid. And I actually still think we could see a deal done between the Cowboys and
I do
Dak
too.
Before we go into the season.
Based on history, I feel like they could do it like kind of the same time that they did either Zach Martin deal or the Ezekiel Elliott deal.
Yep. And they did the same song and dance with those two guys, right? I mean, heck, when it was Ezekiel Elliott had to like go to Mexico or something to get his deal, and Zach Martin was a holdout, and I don't know, that's just how that front office operates. So I would not be surprised if a deal still gets done. But if Dak does go into this season in a situation that we rarely ever see in the NFL, then the caliber of quarterback that he is, particularly in the regular season at the age he is, because we saw Kirk Cousins do it, but at the age Dak is also, it will be really interesting to see on a free agent market. Dak could reset all records, but that only happens, Courtney, to the tune that we think it's potentially possible if, in fact, he goes out and has a really good season once again. So that's why I was putting him number one on the list. Like, either way, he gets paid a lot because the whole quarterback market's gone somewhere. But if we're talking, like, insane, setting total new records kind of standards, at even surpassing Deshaun Watson's absurdity there with the guaranteed money, that only happens if Dak goes out and does something really, really extra
and I
special.
Still think that contract was an outlier as opposed to anything that becomes the norm, but either way, we both agree he has to perform this year. It's just the level of pressure that's where we differ on. Next.
Number four.
So here's an interesting one. I put T. Higgins in here. The Bengals wide receiver, no more Tyler Boyd. T. Higgins is very clearly the number two option behind Ja'Marr Chase. When Joe Burrow got hurt last year, T. Higgins had his worst season to date, just under 700 receiving yards. And he said, I would like to be traded after he got franchise tagged. They didn't do that. He is set to play out the final year of his deal. A second franchise tag probably is unlikely in 2025. Maybe it's possible, but you know, one way to get out of that and to give you the best leverage to have a long-term deal, go and perform this year. Go and help your offense go back to the Super Bowl with Joe Burrow staying healthy, all things considered. But be the number two, be the best possible number two behind Ja'Marr Chase, because even if the Bengals can't pay you because they're going to be paying him, some other team will. As we've seen, the lack of receivers who have hit the free agent market be high caliber, high quality. He could be the best one to hit the market if he has a great season.
That's an interesting one. I didn't realize until this moment that I had all quarterbacks on my list, but I guess it makes sense, right? That's the position that ends up typically having the most pressure on the football field. T. Higgins is a good one. The only reason I wouldn't have thought to put him on my list is because I feel like the Bengals have already resigned themselves to moving on from him after this season. Like, that seems like a very done deal between those two sides because they're going to end up working out something with Ja'Marr Chase and paying him. But it's what you said. He still needs to get paid by somebody else, even in that situation. So there's certainly still pressure on him.
All right.
Number three.
Justin Fields. I know you and I both talked about what the Steelers' plan at quarterback might entail, and that Russell Wilson, a healthy Russell Wilson, could end up finishing out the season. For Fields, it's now or never before falling into the perennial Sam Darnold trap, where you've had options, you've been on multiple different teams. If you can't win the starting job at any point, you start falling into career backup, almost good enough to be a starter, but probably a backup territory. He had 3 years, 35 starts in Chicago. Yes, the situation was tough for him there. and he didn't really have the best shot to prove that he can be the guy. But there is a notion out there in the NFL, in league circles, that he is not capable of being anything more than a backup. Now is your chance to shatter that narrative and prove, yeah, it was Chicago's fault. They put me in the worst possible situation. Look at what happens when I'm with a team that is built to go to the playoffs every year. I can succeed there. If he can, then that's great for him. He's been able to get a second lease on his quarterback life. If he can't, he's probably looking at backup status for the next couple years.
Yeah, you're probably right in the immediacy. I keep seeing, though, these backup guys get chance after chance after chance after chance. You know, we were just talking about Sam Darnold starting in Minnesota. Like, I keep seeing these guys that end up at times being starters, and then they look like they're going to be the career backup, and then they find themselves back in a position competing for a quarterback room at 25 years old, even if it doesn't work out there. I could see him getting another shot down the road.
Yeah, I mean, look at all the quarterbacks that moved around this year. Gardner Minshew, Jacoby Brissett, Sam Howell. Yeah, I get that. But if he wants to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, he's got to make it work this season. All right, moving
number
on.
Number two.
So Bryce Young falls into this category for me. He's not number one on my list, but I did say he was up high because Dan Morgan is the new general manager in Carolina after Scott Fitterer got fired. This is a situation where this team, Dave Canales, new front office, they didn't draft Bryce Young. They are not going to be tied to him after this season, similar to a Justin Fields situation. If he doesn't prove it this year, he's probably out after this year, and they're probably drafting a quarterback with their first-round pick, because they didn't have a first-round pick last year.
Yeah, we both have Bryce Young on our list. I had him at three. You have him at two. We both think that there's a ton of pressure on that kid.
Number one.
Aaron Rodgers and the cost of doing business. Ugh, you heard him earlier. He sounds tight. He sounds pressed and not happy right now about the state of the offense, which is kind of weird considering it's July and he's been through this before. He knows what's at stake. He knows how much pressure he has on him in 2024. They've got to make sure they get the return on investment this year and that this is considered a successful trade by the time this was all said and done, going out and above and beyond to get Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. There is no one who has more pressure on them in 2024 than him.
I think there's nobody who invites more pressure on them than Aaron Rodgers. Also, we both agree. I had him two on my list. You have him one on your list. Obviously, number one market in the country. Lots of pressure on Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets generally.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
It's basketball season, baby. When you're playing with BetMGM, you don't need to be 7 feet tall with a 7 foot wingspan to get into the action. Oh, you betting with the big boys now. I'm talking over points, under assists, and exact rebounds all day. Fade away jumper from the left wing, hitting nothing but net type of vibe. This basketball season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
Courtney Cronin is hanging out. She's been filling in for Ian Fitzsimmons tonight here on Amber and Ian. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. You can always find her at Courtney R. Cronin. You can find me, Amber Wilson, at Amber W. Sports. So what we always do at this time on Amber and Ian is we find out what is a big deal and what's not a big deal.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
And our producer, James Steele. Hello, James.
Hi, guys.
How you holding up there? After
I'm tired, yeah.
No sleep, champ, after two concerts in a row at 40 years old.
You know,
it's pretty amazing. That's like a marathon that athletes participate in.
I'm in. I'm super into doing things that are like unreasonable. I think it's like fun to jam a whole bunch of stuff into a short period of time. Uh-huh. And this was one of those. This was one of those weekends.
This was definitely one of those where you decide to drive. Where were you? Pittsburgh?
No, I went down to D.C. Yeah.
Oh, D.C. Yeah. So I knew it was somewhere. All right. You drove all the way to D.C.
Yeah.
And went to a concert on Friday night.
Friday,
right?
Yeah, I drove down Friday like morning. That's an awful drive. Let me tell you something. Between Baltimore and D.C., that was one of the worst experiences of my life.
I would imagine there's some traffic.
Yeah, just a tiny bit. And went to see Creed and Three Doors Down and Finger 11 on Friday night.
Wow, it's 1994 up in her.
Hello, okay. No, 99. Come on. Creed was great. I'm good now. I've seen Creed. I don't need to see them ever.
Do they do mosh pits at Creed, or is that only at Limp Bizkit?
I don't remember. I mean, I wasn't. I sit down now. I can't.
You're an adult. You're an adult who has a family who doesn't want to get trampled.
You are 40.
I need a seat. I need a seat.
He's a man.
Just in case
he's 40.
I get tired. Yeah.
He's a man. He's 40. I'm a man.
I don't remember mosh pits at Creed. There were mosh pits at Limp Bizkit for sure. But yeah, and then last night. Went to see Limp Bizkit, same venue as in Virginia. And then right after, I drove back to Connecticut, 5-hour drive.
Yeah, I got in the car at midnight and then drove all the way straight back through the night to get back for a softball game that did not happen because it got rained out.
Yeah, it got postponed. Yeah, so.
Which even if it had happened, the record of our softball team there at ESPN Radio is no bueno. So really, you were driving through the night to probably lose.
Yeah, probably two in a row and be done for the season. Yeah, that was pretty much, but yay.
That's dedication, man.
The captain goes down with the ship, that's all. You know what I mean?
I'm proud of you.
I'm the heart and soul of that softball team.
All right, well, here you are now doing big deal, not a big deal, like a pro.
And kind of an exhausted big deal, not a big deal. Let's hit the Madden ratings. Madden 25 starting to release their ratings. They did defensive backs or safeties a couple days ago, but today was the wide receivers. Pretty much the guys who you think would be in there. But at number one is Tyreek Hill. He's 99 overall. Number two is Justin Jefferson, 98 overall. So we got Tyreek Hill over Justin Jefferson, which I don't agree with. But ever big deal or not a big deal, these rankings?
Well, not a big deal. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Do you want me to go first or you want to go first?
You can take it away.
I said Amber, but...
I'm sorry. Listening comprehension is very low for me today, but let me just railroad this segment. I'm looking at the Madden rankings right now. The issue here for Justin Jefferson is the speed category. So Tyreek Hill has a 99 for speed. Justin Jefferson has a 92. They don't differ in many categories. Jefferson has the edge in a couple of them as well, but... I honestly think it's because Tyreek Hill is such a unicorn with the way he can turn on his jets and, you know, just burn defensive backs. Like, the way that you have to cover him, if you're a defensive coordinator, like, until somebody finds, like, the secret sauce that you can replicate again and again and again, that's why he's so difficult. So I think just because his skill set is so unique compared to Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, some of the others, A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who are all terrific receivers. And I believe that Jefferson is the best overall receiver in the NFL. But because of that pesky speed category, I think that's where he got the knock there. So I'll say it's not a big deal.
Well, Tyreek Hill is faster than Justin Jefferson. I mean, Tyreek Hill is the fastest receiver on this list, so fine, at least for now, obviously. He's getting to an age where that might at some point taper off a little bit. Justin Jefferson is a great receiver. The thing that people may not realize, too, though, is Justin Jefferson's season last season, like a down, like air quotes down season there.
Yeah, he had a hamstring
Justin Jefferson
injury.
when he was healthy and obviously was battling through the hamstring injury. So that, I would imagine, factors into this. I don't know if it just weighted on the production from the season before. You had Tyreek out there for most of the season on pace to break 2,000 yards, something we've never seen any wide receiver do in NFL history. He comes just a couple and change 100 yards short of that on the season. And so I could see Tyreek being, I don't think it's that crazy. I know James wants it to be crazy. I don't think it's crazy that Tyreek Hill is number one on this list.
It's not crazy. I think Justin
it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal.
It's a big
deal. Is what we both agree.
Tyreek Hill, I believe the only person with 99 overall speed.
Correct.
And Justin Jefferson is the highest catch in traffic rating in the game. So those are two things there.
These guys are both pretty good.
Justin Jefferson did play 10 games, had over 1,000 yards. Didn't have Kirk Cousins when he came back from his injury.
You know what? He got paid like the best receiver in the NFL, and that reflects who he is. So I think at the end of the day, 1 point off on Madden is not a big deal whatsoever because his bank account reflects what we all think about him.
Yeah, I think you'd rather win in that category.
Yeah, for
if
real.
If you're Justin Jefferson. But at the same time, I would imagine that he is taking this to heart because that's how hyper-competitive these guys are and that he's not going to go out there with a vengeance trying to prove that he's better than Tyreek this season, all because of EA Sports.
All right, speaking of wide receivers, there's been some speculation that Davante Adams might find his way to the Jets at some point this season. Greeny on Get Up today. No, on his show today, is so confident that Davante Adams will end up a Jet this season that he said this.
I will do a day of TV and radio dressed as McAfee if the Jets don't wind up getting Davante Adams. So when I make this bet, I come home. Stace, of course, has heard about it. I walk in the door of my house. I do not even get hello. I get, you're going to have to wear a shirt under the tank top. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, you are not wearing a tank top on television. And I didn't push it because I felt the more I pried into why she felt that way, the less happy I was going to be. You put me right now in a tank top and I turn sideways. Like, you're not going to know I'm in the room.
All right, I'm going to go to Courtney because she's just going to take it anyway. So, Courtney, big deal, not a big deal. Greeny is going to dress like Pat McAfee if Davante Adams doesn't wind up on the Jets this year.
I think it's a huge deal. It's the biggest of big deals because Greeny stepping outside of his Greeny realm to pretend to be McAfee, you know you can't just wear the tank top and expect to just go be who you are. Like, you will end up taking on that McAfee persona, the loud, brash, borderline obnoxious persona that he comes on a TV with. And Get Up's going to feel real different when Mike Greenberg ends up doing that. And I'd love to see him slide over the desk, microphone put out for radio, and he carry that, what can we call it? Like, Grackafee, right? I'm trying to, like, combine names here. Greeny and McAfee, Grackafee. That will be who we know him as from this point forward if this doesn't happen. And because we haven't seen any movement just yet, I believe that it's going to take maybe till the trade deadline before we see Davante Adams moved, if we see him moved at all. So we could be waiting a while.
We could be waiting a while. This originated on the McAfee show, where McAfee originally said, because they were trying to come up with what the bet would be if Adams ends up a Jet. And McAfee had originally thrown out there that Greeny has to go on Get Up and say the F word. And do some other thing. And Greeny's like, no, I'm not you. I cannot do that. I'm not agreeing to that. That is not happening.
Yeah, he so would that get was too in far. Serious trouble for that.
Yeah, and so finally, they agreed on him just dressing like McAfee instead of acting like McAfee in terms of the cursing anyways. And then Greeny goes home to his wife, and his wife is a bit concerned about what he has just agreed to. Maybe he was taking that the wrong way from his wife. Maybe his wife thinks that he's going to look like such a snack out there in a tank top that she doesn't want America to see it because she's afraid the ladies will come after him. Maybe that's what
it is.
I mean,
you're playing 3D chess there, Amber. potentially, I would love to see the set of Get Up transition into the McAfee set. You know, like when he'll say something and they go back and forth, and the camera angles shift like every like split second. I would love to see Get Up try that for one show. So I'm rooting for this. It's a huge deal if it happens.
Oh, I'm definitely rooting for this. I want Davante Adams to have nothing to do with New York Jets now. Also, by the way, does Greeny never learn his lesson with the Jets? Like, does
no.
he never learn
That's what
how
when
much
you are
they
a diehard super fan?
So he thinks the Jets are going to make the good move halfway through the season here and bring in the dynamic receiver because they're going to be so good that they're going to be a Davante Adams away? Come on, Greeny, learn your lesson, bud.
Probably have to work on his Yinzer accent. Throw a couple of downs in there.
Oh, yeah.
And Yins or two.
You got to teach him the McAfee language.
Maybe go to Sheets and get a schmuffin, you know? All right. I think Have you guys seen the video of Jason Kelce arm wrestling the Team USA rugby star?
No, but I've seen Jason Kelce all around. I saw him in a different video with the rugby star because she was trying to talk him into being their like mascot, so to speak, for the USA rugby team. I saw that.
All right. So quickly, they arm wrestled and Jason Kelce win. But apparently there's some controversy. And the New Heights podcast Twitter account is accusing Jason of cheating. So big deal, not a big deal, Courtney, that Jason Kelce might be an arm wrestling cheater.
I'm watching it right now, and I'm trying to figure out where in like which he would have cheated. Was it so, because he put his hand on the table
to brace himself? He used his left arm to maybe create some more leverage. And so that might be cheating.
I'm just glad that the retired athlete still has it. That there's no doubt that he has the strength to take down the rugby champ of Team USA, albeit with a little help,
while wearing a beret. So that
and
that
a very very tight shirt.
He's definitely bracing himself and using his strength from his other arm to brace himself against the table to give himself a decided advantage here. There's definitely some cheating going on. In the video where she was saying Nicole Hiverland, is that how you say her last name?
Probably.
She was trying to talk him into shoot because you know how what it's a water polo team, right? Has Flavor Flav, and so I guess the USA rugby team wants Jason Kelce to be their the symbolism of the rugby.
The tush push is basically a rugby play, right? I mean, I think it tracks.
It is a rugby play. I think, yeah. I don't understand rugby. I got to be honest with you. Like, I saw the video of her like absolutely trucking somebody during the game, and I do not understand what's going on. I clearly do not understand the rules. She's just trucking people out there and then still running with the ball, and it's very confusing. Yeah. She sets down the ball at one point, very lost.
I watched the France Fiji rugby sevens match game or whatever it was the other day, and I could not figure out what was going on.
It's a confusing sport. It's got a little bit of football in it, but it is so much more complex.
Yeah,
in the way that they set and everything else.
I think the fact that it looks anything like football is like confuses us more because I think it's probably nothing like football, but because it kind of looks like it, then we're just super lost because we're expecting it to reflect it in some way.
The one thing that I am like 99.9% sure I figured out was that wherever they touch down when they score, that's where they kick it from for the extra points. So
that
like they
sense.
Do it on the on the very left hand side of the field. That's where they have to kick it through the uprights.
Well, that's fun.
I believe that's what I gained out of all of that. But
all right, well, that's more knowledge than
else,
I have.
I don't know. Who knows?
By the way, Courtney, if you were listening earlier in the show, and you can check out the podcast if you weren't on the ESPN app, Courtney was completely wrong about what handball was.
I could not have been further from describing the sport that is actually known as handball. I would love to know what the name of the sport. Racquetball was the one, but not with your hand. It's with an actual racket that you're hitting against the wall. What's the one where you're using your hand as the racket, as the mallet, as the method of hitting it?
Are we making that sport up?
I don't think so.
I thought it sounded legit for handball.
I think you just saw that on the Ocho a couple years ago.
Maybe it was an Ocho sport. But no, racket handball is like soccer and basketball played on a cement surface with a net.
It's basically soccer without using your feet at all. It's soccer just with hands, apparently, is what handball is. Who knew? Coming up, apparently Olympians knew. Coming up next year on Amber and Ian, what NFL fan base is the worst, most annoying fan base in the world? We'll get into that on ESPN Radio.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify.
Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Untuckit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
Well, Jazz Chisholm hasn't been wearing pinstripes long, but he is already on fire. He hit two homers in his Yankees debut tonight, making him our performer of the week. The performer of the week is brought to you by Skechers Footwear, stylish comfort for men, women, and kids. Nice to see the Miami Marlins continuing to be sellers for my entire lifetime. All right, moving on. So let's talk about the most annoying fan bases in the NFL, Courtney, because our producer, James Steele, found this tweet earlier. Now, I don't actually know who this gentleman is, but the tweet was funny. Most annoying fan bases in the NFL. He has Matt D366. Sounds legit. He has the Eagles fans being 1A, Cowboys fans being 1B. Then he writes large gap. Then Jets fans, number 2, Patriots fans, number 3, Chiefs fans, number 4, and Steelers fans, number 5. And he gives the Giants fans who believe in Daniel Jones an honorable mention.
I don't know if I like that list. Just the way that you like described it, laid it out, I get it with the Eagles fans at the top of the list. They're obnoxious. They have to grease light poles because they're worried about their people climbing up them and getting hurt when their team wins games. I was there in 2017 covering the Vikings NFC Championship game. I have witnessed batteries, beer cans, all the things that are thrown at fans. And that's not cool. I hate when, but that's not limited to just that fan base. I just happen to see it up close. I don't understand how you can't put the Cowboys and anybody who calls themselves America's team at number, like, not at number one. We did this on First Take in the summer because, you know, it's like peak summertime. You're looking for some sort of content to get a little engagement. And we all found a team in conjunction with the 4th of July that should actually be America's team. And I said the Kansas City Chiefs. I wasn't doing it to placate to James, but I was saying it because what an America's team. What do we like in America, Amber? We like winners. We like winners. And I love the fact that my country right now is doing pretty darn good over at the Olympics, winning medals. Same thing. We like our teams to win. We like our teams to wax the floor with their competition. What have the Chiefs done? 3 Super Bowls in 5 seasons, the modern day dynasty? Tell me that's not what defines America. So, like, they should be America's team, letting the, like, leaving the Cowboys to, like, get rid of that title, like, attached to themselves as a fan base. And that's why I find that their fan base the most annoying, because for some godforsaken reason, they still think they're that. 4 playoff wins since 1997. How are you America's team?
I have also bulked against the notion that the Dallas Cowboys are America's team. And ever since I got here to national radio, having to talk about the Dallas Cowboys a lot because of it, I've always thought, what if we gave this attention to one of the other franchises? Would they then become America's team? The reality is, though, statistically, the Cowboys have the largest fan base across the nation, and it's not even close. Now, because of that, a lot of the fans, Courtney, are bandwagon fans. Like, you know how it is with, you know, in the 90s, like, everybody's a Bulls fan, everybody's a Yankees fan, and everybody's a Cowboys fan. You know, that's how it would work, right? And the reality is that a lot of those fans don't live in Dallas, aren't necessarily closely tied to Dallas, and may not be the most passionate fan base in the world because of it. I wouldn't actually have the Dallas Cowboys on the top of the list. I would have the Eagles on the top of the list because that fan base is, as you mentioned, on a whole nother level with how serious that they take their sports, frankly, in all of the wrong ways. And so I can understand, though, from a regional perspective, how Eagles fans typically, like, you're typically from Philadelphia or have some affiliation with Philadelphia. If you are, in fact, an Eagles fan, that's not always true with Dallas Cowboys fans.
Sure.
Those fans are just everywhere. It's like we just jumped on that bandwagon and chose it, which was silly because it hasn't gone well for you.
Well, that's why the Steelers fall in there, because they have a pretty darn good national fan base. Their games are on national TV a lot.
Yes.
They think what you will of this team that hasn't won a Super Bowl in a while, but they're constantly in the playoff picture. I think that they could fall into...
They travel really well, Steelers fans.
Especially the travel part. Yeah. That in itself puts them into that category. I don't know if I'd call them annoying, though. I mean, let me ask the Yinzer in the room. Like, would you say that they're annoying, James?
Well, they're annoying. They're always trying to fire Mike Tomlin, and they don't appreciate what they have. That's annoying about the Steelers.
Yeah, Steelers fans are pretty annoying.
Really?
Yeah, they hate Mike Tomlin for, well, there's a reason why they hate him, but it's weird. It's just weird that a guy who wins all the time is not, like, they've been calling for him to be fired for, like, I don't know, probably like close to 10 years now. When did they make the Super Bowl?
Yeah, since then. Basically, pretty much. They've been calling for him to be.
They say that he won with Cowher's team. And then he gets back and they didn't win that one, and they haven't really done anything in the playoffs since. I think they overrate Ben Roethlisberger, too. So they're like, oh, we had a Hall of Fame quarterback, but whatever.
Jets fans deserve to be number two on this list, but I also feel a little bad for Jets fans because that's some dedication being a Jets fan.